Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and his son, Zach, thank you for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and your support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. We want to be your daily encouragement to help you help others for your life, your love, your faith, and your family. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, won't you? And join us on social media for more fresh content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now, let's join our host, president of the AACC, licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. I am that Dr. Tim Clinton, and on behalf of my co-host and son, Zach Clinton, I say thank you for joining us. Hey, today we have a very special friend in the studio. She is renowned Christian author and popular novelist, Karen Kingsbury. She is one of today's most beloved fiction authors with over 25 million copies of her award-winning books in print. She's going to tell us about a new film that's in theaters everywhere right now, Someone Like You. With that, let's do this. Karen, welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Thank you for joining us. And by the way, congratulations on the release of Someone Like You.
Well, thank you. It has been such an exciting time. So good to be with you.
Karen, 1,800 theaters across the United States and Canada. The film released April 2nd. I know you must be exhausted, but I'm telling you, and excited at the same time. Karen, tell us a little bit about what's happening and the energy around the film.
Yeah, so Someone Like You, like you said, it released April 2nd. And right now what we're seeing is a lot of people are finding out about it, kind of even though we've been talking about it for a while, they're just sort of learning about it. And they're coming to the theaters and they're wanting to come back. And that's why we opened on a Tuesday, is we thought it was a good idea to just sort of give more days for word of mouth. And then from there, we would see what God would do. And, you know, we're at the place of like, okay, are you going to let us stay in theaters? You know, that's what we're praying for.
So it's still there. And people still have a chance to go and enjoy this film. Karen, I guess before we get into all of it, I guess I want to ask you right up front, where do you get your inspiration from?
Well, it's always God. I mean, it's, you know, it seems like a maybe easy answer. But I didn't give my life to the Lord until I was in my mid-20s. And so I can remember what life was like without him. And then I can remember, you know, breaking the Bible because I was so frustrated in conversations with the guy who I would end up marrying, been married to for 36 years. And I just, you know, I was a person who once I understood the truth of God's word and that what Jesus did for us on the cross and how he opened the gates of heaven for me, I couldn't stop talking about it. And now, you know, I feel like where Jesus, you know, he wants to tell you something straight when he was walking on earth, he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. But when he wanted to make a point, he would turn over a table. But when he wanted to touch your heart, he told a story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I do. I get inspiration from him. He puts a movie on my heart, and I really don't even feel like I'm making it up as I'm writing that book. And now, you know, getting to have someone like you in theaters, that's the movie that God put on my heart.
Karen, let's go straight to the storyline. You take on faith, you take on embryo adoption and more. This is pretty electric. Give us a little tip about the movie itself and what people can expect when they go hit the theater. Maybe tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, we know for sure it'll be there, you know, today, tomorrow, I mean, like through this week. We just don't know if it'll hit the weekend, but we hope so. We're praying about that. But yeah, it's a story of a grieving young architect who has just lost his best friend. Dawson Gage is his name, and his best friend is London, a girl he was in love with, but she never felt that way, so they were just friends. Now that she has gone and she had a tragic passing, he has learned that she was born through IVF and that there was an extra embryo, and her parents donated the embryo to a fertility specialist. Mm. Back then, that was pretty much unheard of, so nobody talked about it. London didn't know about it. And so Dawson feels in his grief, the one thing he can do for London, like the last thing, is to go and find this brother or sister. And he finds this young woman who has no idea that she was adopted as an embryo. And it rocks her world. And he's now able to tell her everything about the sister she never knew. And he is, you know, expecting to just sort of send her home because she's so broken in her relationship with her family, but he never expected to fall in love.
I know Julie, when she saw it, you know, she teared up a little bit. I'm not going to say anything about me at all, but hey, you know what I love? Listen, some of the reviews out there leaves you guessing right to the end. Action, adventure, emotion, mystery. Saw where you had an audience rating score of 97%. Again, we're talking about a movie that's releasing right now in theaters, 1,800 screens, United States and Canada. It's entitled Someone Like You. It's from our dear friend Karen Kingsbury, who's here with us right now. Karen, I have to ask you, Julie's going to ask me this. Tim, did you ask her about where she was on opening night?
Yeah, what an amazing moment. We went to our AMC Thoroughbred Theater, which is in Franklin, Tennessee. That's just about 15 minutes from our house. And we had, you know, it's so funny because I bought like 20 tickets and invited our Bible study and just, you know, as many people as I could think to just invite. But then there were so many other people there that we ended up knowing. And I guess that's what's happening. You know, when you live somewhere long enough, you know, you run into people and it was just like a party. It was so fun and it was surreal. You know, I sat next to Kathy Lee Gifford. She asked if she could come with me. So I brought her. And on the other side was Tyler. And then, you know, family everywhere you looked and friends everywhere you looked. And, you know, Tyler and I have walked through this, and he's my oldest son. He's the director of the movie, helped me co-write the script. Mm. And he and I have walked the journey out on this movie from conception. Just like, can we, should we, could we? And we, you know, obviously looped my husband in really early on, like, is this a good idea? And you know, it was really a family affair. And so having everyone there in the theater, my tears were as much for the story that still makes me cry when I watch this movie, as it was for just the faithfulness of God.
Karen, I know you and I've talked many times. If we don't take back the media and the arts, we don't really win. And you've taken a bold step here. Seriously. And I find it interesting, you know, this launch in 1,800 theaters. Do you think maybe the old-time movie theater experience might be coming back a little bit? I know with COVID and all the proliferation of streaming and static, you know, that kind of thing going on. But what are your thoughts there?
You know, I think there's something very big at play. And I can't honestly tell you that I understand it. I feel a sense from God. You know, when you look at life, like just step back with a little bigger lens, you know, and say, well, there was COVID, there was all this shutdown, there are a lot of young people who are discouraged and depressed, even still because of that. And then you look at like what we're up against in the theaters. It's almost comical. Like it's not comical because it's so dark, but I mean, I feel like if you made this story up, people would say there's not that many dark movies. Well, there are. And when you're looking at The Omen, Conversations with the Devil, some evil movie about a nun, I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm not talking about, obviously Cabrini was a positive and hopeful movie that was out, but this is a different one, something about a nun that's very evil. I've tried not to even listen to the commercials, but there is a lot of darkness in the theaters right now. So there could not be a better time than today to vote by going, taking your feet and going to the theaters and seeing Someone Like You. And I feel like a message there is that God wants someone like you to participate in taking the arts back for the good. That somebody, you know, these young people who have lost hope, or people who are, you know, struggling in their relationships or have suffered a loss after the COVID pandemic or whatever it might have been that has given them a deep, you know, amount of grief, come to the theaters and experience hope and see the light of Someone Like You, because that's what, you know, that's what God wants us to do. It's what he would like to reach us if we would only participate.
Karen, I know that the best way to do that is together. In other words, people of faith suiting up, showing up, and making something like this happen. I want to go to a little deeper into this narrative, this story around the movie, Someone Like You. Karen, you, your family, you guys decided to self-fund this initiative. You're radical. Seriously, I think you are. in a lot of ways, you're defying Hollywood. But at the same time, you're saying, listen, we want to be first class. We want to deliver something that truly is remarkable, entertaining. It reflects excellence for the sake of Christ and more. But Karen, take us down that road. How did you go in that direction?
We had an investment that came to fruition, and it was kind of like we had actual cash available to us. And you know, we obviously, you could buy a couple houses and just sort of have some rental income. I mean, there are things you could do with it that not necessarily would be bad things, but just there were options. Working for, for 25 years writing these books and 25 million books in print. I mean, obviously there's going to be some savings. And so we had this moment, my husband and I, where we said, what do we want to say at the other end of this journey? Like, before we go home to heaven, do we want to look at each other and say, wonder what would have happened? Like, I wonder if we could have actually given hope and light and led people to Christ if we would have done a movie. And we didn't want to be in that position. We actually passed by a sign on the way to our bedroom every day, and it says, just one life. And that's the really, that's the reality. We have just one life. Or what are we going to do with it? How are we going to spend the days that God has given us? So, my husband put his hands on my shoulders and he said, honey, I believe in you. And honestly, if we have to use all of our savings, if we have to sell everything, then I believe that God is calling you and me and our family to make this movie. So we looked around and we're like, wow, we have, my sister was able to do a line producing job. Tyler can direct. He was ready for his directorial debut. How blessed were we that we got to do that, with him. He was very ready. And just other, all of the family, able to help with marketing and different aspects. It was like, for such a time as this, like perhaps we have been born for such a time as this, let's swing the bat. Let's take the leap and see what God does with it.
Karen, your son, Tyler, what an amazing thing it must be to work with your son on this film and more. I know, Karen, our family is highly engaged with what we're doing. So it's a unique experience. How's it gone?
It has been amazing. And working with Tyler, I knew he was ready. He prayed about taking on the job of being a first-time director, his directorial debut. But every director needs a debut, and this is his. Often in interviews, if people don't know us well, I just say Tyler Russell, the director, because sometimes, you don't want to diminish that he is truly legit a ready director to make a movie like this just by saying he's my son. So it depends on the atmosphere and the place we're in. But I'll tell you, it has been a blessing to watch, just to kind of be a proud mom and step back. And I don't always wear the hat of producer. I mean, when it comes to Tyler and his work and someone like you, I often am just the proud mom that steps back and smiles.
I love that verse in Scripture that says, I have no greater joy too than to know my children walk in the truth. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, your host. Our special guest today is Karen Kingsbury. Karen's a New York Times number one best-selling novelist. I think she's America's favorite inspirational storyteller, somewhat 25-plus million books, award-winning books in print, talking about a new release, a movie release, Someone Like You, in theaters right now, 1,800 screens across the United States and Canada. Theaters. It's amazing. The response is fun. It's all over social media everywhere. Karen, I want to go back for a moment and talk to you about your career. It's exploded, your novels, so much more happening. I saw where you have a television series on the Baxter family. People probably know you best because of the Baxter family and more, but all this is coming together. But you talk about life-changing fiction. And can you tell us a little bit about why that's wired into your DNA?
So I really wondered, what would I call fiction if I started writing fiction? And I wrote this first book called Where Yesterday Lives. And I thought to myself, Christian fiction just was, I didn't know what it was. I wasn't raised in a Christian world or environment. I wondered if that might be kind of cheesy or kind of not that real. And so I struggled with that term. And then for a while I called it inspirational fiction. And then that felt too light as well. Like, my stories are really deep, and they really do help you to hear the voice of God and what he's calling you to do. It's not something I can take any credit for. It's him. And finally, I began hearing from so many readers who would say, wow, that book changed my life. Like, I was able to, call my husband and make things right, and we're back together. Or, my sister and I had been estranged for years, and now I feel like I want to have that friendship again. So people were saying it was life-changing. It was giving them hope. It was leading them to God. And then I began saying, That's a good term. Let's do that. Life-changing fiction. So really, the readers are where that term came from.
Karen, I know you have shared many times that you actually weep and you're very emotional while you write. You can be sitting alone over in a corner somewhere and you are in that moment. Take us into those places of what's happening inside of your heart as you put these words on paper.
The process to me feels like a court reporter, kind of. Like, I feel so strongly that I am seeing it play out. I'm right with them. I can feel what they're feeling. I can see what they're doing. I can hear what they're saying. And so as I'm sitting there, you know, I'll have headphones on listening to some playlist that I made for the story. And in a dark room, often with maybe like a YouTube clip of a beach playing. So I feel like I'm actually at the beach when I'm really 12 steps from being upstairs. And, you know, the stories just hit me so hard because I'm so with them. I feel that what they're feeling. And, yeah, I'm laughing if there's something funny. And I'm crying when there's something sad. And I feel it so deeply. One of the scenes in Someone Like You in the movie, well, I mean, the whole thing really does follow the book very closely. But one moment is that I'll just always cry at is where the two moms get to meet at the end. And I remember how much I cried when I wrote the scene of Andy leaving her biological family. She has now met them, spent some time with them, and she's going back home. And I remember just crying. I mean, just aching because of the thought that this poor woman has been through so much. She lost a daughter. And now she's losing the other one a second time. And it's really just so much emotion. But what never hits me, it never occurs to me that I made it up.
Karen, as you have talked with people who've attended the film now, you've watched audience reactions. Boy, oh boy, you've had quite a festive time up to the release of the movie, from your red carpet event there in Nashville to doing all kinds of interviews with like people.com. And I saw you were up on Shannon Bream's program and more. That's exciting. But Karen, inside of your heart and what's resonating, and I want people now, and we're fighting the clock a little bit here, but I want to go into the movie and I want them to hear from your heart about what they are really going to experience, because there's so much that's pouring out of you. There's so much energy. There's so much excitement. And I know, again, you're tired. You're exhausted. You've been going 100 mile an hour. But God is all over this story. It's amazing.
It is. You know, there are moments that I can just hear people crying when I'm in a theater, and I can see them pull out their tissues. one of those moments is certainly when Andy and Dawson are sitting by the fire, and he's asking her about her family. And how were things before all of this, before you found out that, in a sense, they had lied to you all your life, and that's a really difficult betrayal to accept in an identity crisis for her. But how was it before? And she says, it was great, it was perfect, but they lied to me, you know? And he says to her something that I think is resonating with people in theaters and giving them new perspective. And, you know, he says, your parents made a big mistake, but right now you are the only one who can fix it. And that's a piece that is true. We harbor things. We can harbor hurts and resentments, and it doesn't do us any good. It's not where God wants us to be. And then at the end, there's that moment with Louise, and that's Lynn Collins plays it, and she's just phenomenal. She says, you know, Andy, she's talking to her biological daughter, but she's just met, who she gave away, you know, as an embryo because she couldn't have any more children, didn't want to throw the embryo away, so she donated it. Now she's actually having a conversation with this, you know, a grown child. And she says, Andy, you know, the world is divided enough. You don't want your family divided too. And I really feel like that message of reconciliation and hope, beauty from ashes, is giving people, they're crying, but it's not a sad cry, right? It's like people have said to me, you know, is this too sad? Like, can I go and see this movie and really be okay and not feel depressed? And I said, you're going to feel so much hope. Like the tears are people walk out radiant. Teary-eyed, but radiant.
I know, Karen, we've talked about how we aren't in a mental health crisis anymore. We're in a mental health disaster. People are very empty. They're desperate for connection. They want to know that God's there and that He does love them and that He'll show up. And they want to know how to get maybe reconnected. They don't feel close, and they want to get closer, if you will, to people they love. And so, Karen, in the midst of all this, is a film anchored in faith. It's got a feel-good piece to it, but you've brought a lot of action, suspense, craziness. I mean, it's very intense. It really is. But at the heart of it, you're right. You want people walking out of that. You want them walking out of that theater with something that's written in their heart that's life-changing. That's the heart of this.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny. It's what people, one person said it really well. I don't know what I was feeling, but I was enveloped in it, and I wanted to stay there.
Okay, Karen, so with the time we have left, let's go back. 1,800 theater screens across the country, United States and Canada. The film's there right now. This is all about people suiting up, showing up, people supporting this kind of a film. I don't mind saying it. I'm just straight out. We're going to push this thing as hard as we can. We need people showing up. Let's make this happen. Karen, give us your word of encouragement to everybody to show up at the theater.
Well, take your friends, take your family. It'll be a moment. And I think that one thing we've lacked in the theaters lately is an experience of the heart. And that's what this is. So make time for it, and you will have time the rest of the week to be able to talk about it. Go to my website at someonelikeyou.movie, and you can get the free Bible study. And even if it's just you, or if it's you and your friends, your family, your Bible study group, it's material that you're going to want to go through. It's life-changing.
Karen, an easy place to get tickets or what have you, where can they go?
someonelikeyou.movie. That's we've got everything there. You can get connected to any theater where we're showing the movie now.
Great. Hey, Karen, is this going to be showing up pay-per-view streaming later on?
We don't have a plan for that yet. I hope so. That's certainly my prayer, is that down the road we'll have more windows. And we have we're working on a foreign deal right now with Sony, which is great. We're excited about that. But we don't have a streaming deal in place.
Karen, I know this. Julie is in Grand Prairie, Texas, with a lot of women, thousands of women. They're waiting for an exciting weekend. And I know she's going to be showing the trailer. We showed it in Tulsa at the Mabee Center. We had 7,500 women. They went crazy over it. I'm so excited for you, your family, and I'm really excited about the work that God's doing in and through you. And we're going to be on our knees praying for and with you that God would make something out of this special and draw a lot of attention to himself. And then through it all, we salute you. Hey, on behalf of our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, my wife Julie, our team, Karen, you know we're praying for you. We're praying that God will be big in this moment. Thank you so much for joining us.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, we pray God's richest blessing on you and your family. Be sure to join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, tell us how we're doing, and maybe ask a question or two, or simply for more information on our resources and upcoming events. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com. Hi, everyone. Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I have a very special announcement to share with you. Are you a counselor, coach, chaplain, someone interested in improving your ability to minister to others? Well, this summer, I want to invite you to join us for a week of training, education, encouragement, and fellowship. Get ready for an incredible 7-day Alaskan cruise from June 22nd to June 29, 2024. Starting in Seattle, Washington. All brought to you by the American Association of Christian Counselors. This journey is a chance to earn continuing education credits amidst Alaska's stunning scenery. Join leading mental health experts like Dr. Ron Hawkins, Dr. Sean A. Anderson, Dr. Mercy Connors, my son Zach, Dr. Mark Creer, and others. Comedian, pastor Ted Cunningham is going to be our host. You'll connect with fellow Christian counselors, gain professional insights, and by the way, find a little spiritual rejuvenation against the backdrop of Alaska's majestic landscapes. You don't want to miss this unique blend of education, networking, and nature. Cabins, by the way, are starting to fill up. All you have to do is go up on our website, aaccruise.com, to find out more information. I can't wait for you to join us. I look forward to seeing you June 22nd through the 29th, 2024. What I hope will be, I know will be, an unforgettable trip of a lifetime as we learn and grow together and as we cruise the beautiful Alaskan coast. God's blessings to you all.